Close
to memory, love wife. Quite clear she didn't die to be buried and forgotten. Clear that somewhere there's a story to tell. There's history to record. Let's read a little about her from Genesis 19. Genesis chapter 19. Breaking in, please, at verse 12. Reading from verse 12. And the man said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides? Son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? Whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. While he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. Verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and he became a pillar of salt. Abram got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. That was the fact. Remember Lot's wife. Isn't it remarkable that of all the people that the Lord Jesus could have chosen, he chose this unnamed woman in order to teach lessons to his generation and enable me tonight to preach to this generation. Remember, never forget, call to your memory lost once. Isn't it interesting to know in your New Testament, you're only called upon to remember one other person? You find it in 2 Timothy 2. It reads like this. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember Lot's wife in view of judgment to come. Remember Jesus Christ that in that yonder at the cross, he bore God's judgment against sin. Never forget Lot's wife in that she perished in the iniquity of the city. Never forget Jesus Christ in that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Call to memory Lot's wife in that she died under a stroke divinely inflicted. Tonight, she's in hell. Call to memory Jesus Christ who too died under the hand of God, but died that he might ultimately close the gates of hell to all who believe in him, and to them finally open the gates of heaven. Remember, never forget, call to your memory, Lord. Very, very simply, that you might not forget. I want to talk to you about it. First of all, I want to talk to you about her as to where she was. And that's not hard to remember, is it? Lot's wife, where she was. Lot's wife lived in one of the two cities of the plain called Sodom. One of the cities where God was unknown and God was unwanted. Listen to this. Said God one day, you'll find it in Ezekiel chapter 16. This was the iniquity of Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread and luxurious idleness was in her and in her daughters. She did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. They were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away and I told them. What was it like? Sodom, godless, careless, proud, self-sufficient, figure-loving. Very simply it says, you can hardly believe what lies behind the statement. God took them away. And he sold them. Yeah. So that she lived in a city that was under judgment because of this sin. Terrible thing. And amongst the many things that I will say tonight, and there's really quite a lot to say, you won't forget, will you, that you too live in a world that is under judgment because of sin. You know, today we talk about sodomy. Today you hear the older generation saying the world was never like this before, but actually it was. The world was exactly what it's like tonight. And said God, in the day when Christ comes back, the world's going to be like the days of Lot. Father Kevin, when the Lord Jesus began to speak about coming back to this world, now he said, listen, I'll tell you how you know. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man.
Listen now.
They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark.
And the flood came.
Notice in Noah's day, they ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage.
Listen now.
Likewise, as in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they stole, they planted, they built.
Did you hear that?
Just before Christ comes back to the world, it'll be like the days of Noah. They'll eat, they'll drink, they'll marry and give in marriage. When he talks about Sodom, he says that they ate, they drank, they planted, they builded, they bought, they sold, they never married. By the time you reach, yes, last day, they're not married. Look around you today. Is that not the world that we live in? Never so much eating and drinking? Buying and selling? Planting and building? But today the marriage bond is set aside. They'll tell you it's only a piece of paper anyway. You remember Sodom, don't you? Say, in these last year things have come to light. The gay society, you call it that here in Canada? The gay society is clamoring for recognition. Homosexuality. Lesbianism. The setting aside of the marriage bond. People wanting us to accept as normal what's abnormal. As natural what's unnatural. All that was in Sodom.
The wheel has taken complete time. You see, human nature never changes. Man is desperately wicked. He's morally rotten.
There's no end
to what he wants to.
You know, man's a wonderful creature. Did you ever stop to think? Sometimes you would think that there's no height but what he's going to attain. On the other hand, at times it seems there are no depths but what he'll sink to. Now the reason for that is this, that man has a twofold origin. Lord God breathed into him the breath of life,
but he was made of the dust of the ground.
So that he can soar to the heights and plumb to the depths.
You just think of it for a moment. I mean, it was a wonderful thing when they introduced wireless and telephones. You lift that receiver. All things considered, you can dial nearly to any part of the world. Man made that.
You see the jet, Concorde.
Man made that. Wonderful man.
You watch him yonder as he will prepare to go to the moon. And the Boffin boys, the intelligentsia that have never been there, can tell them the conditions that are up there, will land them exactly where they say and bring them back down to within a couple of hundred yards of where they said they were.
Man's wonderful creature. There's no height that you would think he couldn't attain unto.
And yet the same man will grovel in the dirt and the filth and the mire. That man. He'll have drink problems, he'll have drug problems, he'll have vice problems. All around us, there's a climate that tells that sin is sin. Wicked, vile, impure, unholy.
What is it? Just Sodom all over again. Sodom all over again. Now listen to me.
You and I are living in a world that's fast making for judgment. If you want to go home tonight and read your Bible, say from Revelation 6 on, you'll read of great men and small men of this world crying for the rocks and hills to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. When God actively intervenes to judge the wickedness of this world, people forget that. Say, where she was. She was living in a world that was under judgment because of its sin. She was a sinful woman. Come again. Secondly, very simply, not only where she was, but what she was. What she was. Now you say, I don't know that she was very much. Just a minute. Amazing, but true. Lot's wife was a subject of prayer. Lot's wife was a subject of prayer. Down yonder in Sodom, heedless and godless and careless, somebody will pray and pray to God. I read the chapter before the one I did. You would have been introduced to a man called Abram. Let's go up and talk to him, shall we? Abraham, your faith. That's right. Abraham, would you mind tell us why you're praying? After all, you've never taken part in Sodom's sins. Abraham, the brimstone and the fire your eyes shall never see. Tell us, Abraham, why are you praying? I've seen that. I'm praying because I've loved ones in faith. I'm praying because I've loved ones in the city. Now listen to me. If ever at the end of the road you pass through the gates of hell, never to return, there are two things you'll never be able to say. Number one, you'll never be able to say that nobody loved you. Now I know it's a hard world. God knows it's hard. It's a hard world. You know, in this world, you like lots of people. You love very few. Some of us make it very difficult for people to either like us or love. I want to tell you tonight, God loves you. God loves you. The heart of the eternal goes out to you because you're his creature and he's your God. He's your God whether you believe it or not. He's your God whether you deny his existence, blaspheme his name, turn away from him, have nothing at all to do with him. He's your God. He made you. He's God our maker. God loves you. Loves you as only a creator could love his creature. Now you might be back. You look out in that world that you wouldn't like to touch or rub shoulders with or have much to do with. And all these creatures, abject, unlovable, far from beautiful, violating every sanctity in life. Go it, yes, and when they are satisfied themselves with legitimate pleasure and are still unsated and unsatisfied, they'll turn to what is abnormal and ashamed even to name. And that's the world that God loves. That's the people that God loves. So if ever you land far away from God and light and heaven and happiness and home, you'll never be able to say that nobody loves you. For God loves you. Maybe someday, for all I know, far away, when you find to some night to lie down and think. And maybe I remember the night the wee Scotsman tried to tell me. God loves you. Love
you so much that he gave his son for the like of you. Lots of people would think it wasn't worth it.
You'll never be able to say that nobody prayed for you.
I say, but just a minute, nobody prayed in our house. And I'm sorry. You see, nobody prayed in our house. Nobody read the Bible. Mother used to teach me when I was a wee lad. What was it? This night as I lie down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. But you know, when I grew up, I began to notice that Mother didn't pray, and Father didn't pray. I came to the conclusion that prayer was only for children. I'm sorry if nobody prays in this house. Just a minute. Do you know that tonight, before a lot of us retire today, we'll get down on our knees and we'll pray for you. And we're here tonight without a Savior. Do you know that some of us were interested enough before this meeting to meet downstairs? You know what they were doing? They were praying for you. It's an amazing thing when you learn that. I remember one night in the city of Toronto. The wee old last night. And in the meeting that night, there was a man. He was about 57. And a friend had brought him from the west side of the city, right the way over, to the east. And he would be around about 10 to 8. And suddenly, on the back seat, the man rose to his feet and walked right down to the class. And he said to me, as he stood and looked at me, he says, "I want you to say." So, I said, "That's fine, but you take a seat there and I'll be right down." Well now, while I was speaking to the man, all the Christians went downstairs to pray. After I had spoken to the man, I said to him, "Now, there's some friends downstairs, we'd better go down and we'll tell them." So he said to me, "All right, he just hadn't a clue about anything. You see, Peter says, all right, I suppose you wonder why he's been downstairs." So away the tubes went downstairs, and I opened the door quietly. And all round about, they were on their knees. They were praying. I can see the look of amazement yet in the man's face. He just stood in the room. You could see his eye going all over. Never seen anything like it before. That's it, Tom. Now you won't forget that not only does God love you, not only does God love you, but there are Christians that are praying for you. Very simply, where she was, in a city that was under the judgment of God. What she was, a subject of prayer. Thirdly, very simply, what she has. Ah, well, now you say to me, "I don't think she had much going for her, the way you're talking." Well, yes, she has. I tell you, she's a lot going for her. A lot. Just a minute. She had a godly uncle in Abraham through marriage. She was Lot's wife. Lot was a nephew of Abraham. She had a godly uncle in Abraham. Just a minute. She had a converted, a saved husband-in-law. All right?
Right.
Thirdly, she had angels came. Angels had come to Sodom to help her. Ah, she's a lot going for her, eh? A godly uncle, a saved husband, and angels come.
Oh, yes.
Don't you see that God surrounded the woman with people?
That's right.
That could have helped her to heaven. As you sit there, you may have a godly uncle.
I wouldn't know.
Somebody that prayed for you. Now, would that be right? Would you know anybody that prays for you? Now, you know I'm a preacher. You know, as I move around, there are certain people that I would meet from time to time, and they would say to me, I pray for you every day.
It is. Just to know that somebody's praying for you.
This woman had an uncle that was praying for her. A number of years ago, I was in Inverness in the north of Scotland, in which is a high security system. And the opportunity came one day to go in and preach. We arrived there, we got in under scrutiny, signed the register and all the rest of it, and took us up to a room. And in due course, the prisoners were marched in with a couple of words there to listen to preaching to. So, might seem strange to you this, but we started by singing hymns that we knew well. There was maybe about 7 or 8. And we sang. Notice some of the prisoners were singing. Then a shot in the dark. And, would any of you have a favourite hymn?
Oh, the convicts, haven't they?
Would any of you have a favourite hymn? And there was a young man, I would say middle 20s, sitting down there in front seat. And he shouted out a number in the hymn book. With all the hymn books, he shouted out a number in the hymn book. Ah, the chanter.
You know what it was?
I never can forget the day I heard my mother kindly say, you're leaving now my tender care. Remember, I will be your mother.
We started to sing.
Listen. The tears were going down our cheeks as well as his.
I think he was glad in the front. He was in the front seat, you know. There and that.
But you see, there in the presence of God, memory was active. He went away back, a hard man. You could see it in his face. His mind was away back. Who knows, maybe he had a godly mother. That's what we sang that day. 3 or 4 verses.
A voice comes floating through the air. Remember charity. She was a son.
What she had? A godly uncle who could pray. A husband that was saved. I wonder where he got that. Angels came to help her. Oh, no angel. No angel will come in tonight to the building. But there are men and women here that can help you. And some of us can point you to God and to Christ. We can't save your soul, but we'll tell you that the man that can do. Come again. There she was. A city that was under them. What she was, tough people said. What she had,
godly uncle, saved husband, and angels came to help her. Oh, how God surrounded her with privilege.
She was lost.
Finally, what she did. One day, when the angels came, they said to Lot, "Now listen, Lot. When you in and tell them to get out of this city, for the Lord's going to destroy it." And Lot got the shock of his life. Well, he might. Lot was one of these men that knew a lot but didn't live it. He got the shock of his life. And I can see him. Mind you, give him credit, he did what God told him. It wasn't easy. He went in to his in-laws. Had enough to face them at times in ordinary circumstances. Sometimes, but to go in with a message of judgment. Well, I can see a man here. It was a long time ago when I worked in the city of Glasgow. I worked with him for 2 or 3 years. I'm walking down the road this night and I was talking to him about his soul. How God loved him. He said, "What if I don't do anything about it?" And I said, "You'll finish in hell. You'll suffer under God's judgment." He stopped in the middle of the pavement and turned to me. He said, "Listen, Jack, the bearer of ill news is never welcome. Standing here in Moscow. An ungodly man, the bearer of ill news is never welcome." He's a man that's well read, you know. I don't know, maybe in court someday, I don't know. And Lot got the message, I can see him. So to speak, to use our Western expression, I can see him buttoning up his jacket and setting his jaw. And then he went, "Get you out of this place. The Lord will destroy this city." The Bible says, he seemed as one that mocked. He seemed as one that jested to his sons-in-law. They thought he was acting a comedian. Well, see, it'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? If any of your relatives, at the end of the road, terrible thing if you started to talk to them about these things and they thought you were joking. Thought you were joking. Now the message was twofold. There was a message of invitation. Escape for thy life, escape to the mountain. There was a message of judgment. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the place. The message of invitation, escape for thy life, escape to the mountain. Lot. And if all the animals, listen, get out of the city, get to the mountain. There's a sanctuary in the mountain. There's safety in the mountain. Get to the mountain and you'll be free. Sheltered from God's judgment. Get to the mountain. You know what I sat and thought about that? Do you know where my mind went to? My mind went to the little hill of Calvary, where the Savior died. Rock of ages, cleft room. 4,000 of stood there and looked, not right, by faith, if they never saw it actually, by faith to the place where the Savior died. That's it. There's safety in Christ, there's shelter at the cross, there's a sanctuary from the storms of judgment. Rock of ages. Top lady wrote it just outside Bristol yonder, in the southwest of England. One day he was out walking. Suddenly, the clouds lowered, darkened, the storm broke, and as it broke, he ran to a hill from the cleft of the rock. And as he looked out upon the storm, he wrote his immortal words, "Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power." That's it. It was a message of invitation. Get to Christ and you'll do well. Get to Christ and you'll be saved. Get to Christ and the storms of judgment will never touch. Message of warning.
Very simple. Look not behind thee, don't hesitate.
Neither stay thou in all the plain, don't procrastinate and put it off.
Watch now.
Look not behind thee. The angels were taking her by the hand and leading her out.
Isn't that tremendous?
And suddenly, her footsteps flowed. She stopped. She starts to turn.
Go on, woman, go on!
Remember the message, look not behind thee.
So she's turning.
For her heart lay in Sodom, and Sodom's pleasures and Sodom's sins. Sodom was her life.
She turned and looked back. Became a pillar of salt.
And for at least once the world's maxim became true.
He or she who hesitates is lost.
Don't procrastinate and put it off.
One of these days it'll be too late, you'll walk through the door for the last time.
Then it came, suddenly, unexpectedly to the crowds, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Overwhelming divine judgment, to use a word we used during the war. God blitzed the city. The blitzkrieg of divine wrath descended, swept everything away.
Isn't that right?
There they were, to use our modern language, in the sports ground, at the theatre, in the disco. There they were in their den, carrying out their sodomy, and suddenly God's judgment. Listen, please. I'll read from the Bible. Might convey more than ever I can tell you. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making it an example unto them who hereafter should live ungodly. Isn't that right?
You'd find that in 2 Peter 2. Listen again.
Way at the end of your Bible, just before the book of the Revelation, Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around about them, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
And Abram got up. He rose early one morning. Abram, his wife, rose three times early in the morning. This is the first. He rose up.
And as he looked toward Sodom and all the cities of the plain, he saw the smoke of the country going up,
like the smoke of a factory, eh?
Remember the book of the Revelation talks about the smoke of their torment?
Those terrible things, isn't it? You can hardly take it in. Finally.
Lot's wife was almost,
she was almost safe. She was nearly there.
You know, there are two persons in your Bible, one in the Old Testament and one in the New. One who's a woman and the other who's a man. And each of them were surrounded by privilege and each of them are in hell tonight. The person in the Old Testament is Lot's wife, the woman. The person in the New Testament is Judas, the man. God surrounded them with people that could point them to the way of salvation.
Lost.
You know, Judas sealed his heart for 3.5 years. You would have looked at him and thought, he was all right, he must be one of them.
Wasn't he?
Ultimately, for the love of money, 30 pieces of silver,
he sold Christ.
You know what the Bible says?
The Bible says that he left this world via suicide's grave.
Do you know what it says?
It says that he went to his own place. Now I take it, that's the only place he was fit for. I take it, it was the only place he had fitted himself for. So near, yet so far. Lot's wife, Judas Iscariot, I tell you, hell will be filled with them. Oh, you know, there are things that surprise you, things that startle you, things that amaze you. Imagine to think that there's a way to hell from the gate of heaven. She could be so near. The angel took her, and she's on her way out. She's moved out when suddenly she stops. No one. Have you known them? They've sat in meetings like this, and in their soul have moved forward. Isn't that right? You can nearly see it in their face. And as you preach, you're saying, oh, tonight's the night. Go get it. And you stop. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Almost cannot believe. Almost is past. Say, remember Lot's wife. Remember Jesus Christ. Never forget Lot's wife. Never forget Jesus Christ. Call to your memory Lot's wife. Call to your memory Jesus Christ. For whosoever believeth in him shall not but have eternal life. That's right. Bowed in the sacred name, O God, we ask thee to bless the gospel, the telling out of the story, the wonder of deliverance in Christ, sanctuary from the storms of judgment, safe in him. We commend it all to thee. Remember again other gospel meetings, places where Christ has been uplifted, placarded before the people. O God, make it real tonight, we pray. So receive our thanks and pass us with thy blessing. Remember later and enrich our time of fellowship, we pray, in the Saviour's name.